Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, what's going on? How are we doing?
Better than yesterday.
Hey, that's good.
The kids did not ruin my night.
We're improving one day at a time.
Update,
here on the show.
Update for you.
Thank you. Michelle, what's going on? How are we doing?
This was one of those mornings, guys, where I had to hit snooze like 8 times.
Really?
And have that specific time I can lay in bed until I know I'm going to be late. So I laid in there until that exact minute.
Really? 8? Like 8 for real?
8. Yeah.
So is it 9 minutes between them?
I think it's a 2-minute snooze.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that'd be like an hour and 10 minutes of, which would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, my alarm goes off at like 3:45, and then 4, and then 4:05, and then 4:10.
Just making sure that you don't sleep through.
That's all right. I have Alexa go off for my alarm, and I'm like, Alexa, stop, because she's in the other room. Yeah, it's quite the sight.
Wow.
In the morning.
That's elaborate.
Got to make sure you get up.
Yeah. It works. I'm here.
Yeah. Hey,
how are you doing?
I'm good. My neck has returned to bothering me a little bit. I figured out it's my pillow. Just my pillow. I got to go get another pillow today. So I'm going to do that today.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Tannehill, by the way.
Looks fine.
Apparently his neck is just fine.
Yeah. Well, even thanked you for asking the question.
Yeah.
Thanks for checking on him.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, thanks for asking. Maybe didn't love that video of him, but I'm sorry. He was walking like he was walking on eggshells. Like,
he was ripping the railings so hard.
Feels a lot better. Thanks for asking. Appreciate you.
Yeah. And he's out there with their little stretch thing yesterday. He's doing fine. So apparently it is easier for high-level professional athletes to overcome things like that.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah. Amazing.
Speaking of high-level professional athletes, the Predators got to be tired of playing against Leon Draisaitl, would be my guess. I mean, Connor McDavid, that guy's whatever, you know, just assisting 19 points in 9 games. We're not here to talk about Connor McDavid. Leon Draisaitl and Adam Vingan put this out there last night. He scored twice against the Predators. The Oilers win 5-2 last night. Leon Draisaitl has 10 goals in his last 4 games against the Predators. In his last 4 games. That's insane.
If I'm not mistaken, was one of those like the Pecorine?
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, no, it's just he wears them out, man.
I'm pretty sure that was the same night of the tornado.
Yep.
Yeah. Where he put up like 5 or whatever it was.
Right, just stupid.
Those two are pretty good, it turns out. I mean, Edmonton is now 8-1. I still don't really love the team they have around those two guys, but sometimes it doesn't really matter what they have around those two guys. McDavid and Draisaitl are pretty legit, my friend.
Is this the year that they actually do something in the postseason?
I don't know. I still don't love the group they've got around them. But at some point, like, McDavid's just going to absolutely take over a playoff series, and there's going to be nothing the other team can do. It's like, okay. We tried, but McDavid had 17 points in 6 games.
Right.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would not consider them among the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. I'll put it that way.
But very good start for them.
But a very good start for them. Tough one for the Predators last night. Fall to 1-1 so far on the road trip. But, Joe Rexroad, you look at the goal scorers last night. It's Matt Duchene and it's Ryan Johansson. They continue to be out there and to be productive, as Michelle did not take Ryan Johansson yesterday and Preds picked a click. And actually kind of called the shot that he would score without her taking him. So,
I said,
well done.
Not going to take him, but he'll probably score. And here we are.
Here we are. Ryan Johansson with a goal last night. Matt Duchene, good play on a 2-on-1 with Josi. And I would call that one a snipe. That's a pretty good snipe he had last night.
Nice little held him off. And then, yeah, he's feeling it right now.
He's feeling it right now. And it's interesting. Those two guys off to a productive start offensively. What does that mean for the overall group? You know, a lot of people said, okay, great. Those two guys are off to a great start offensively, and the team's 5-5. What does that really mean?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to find out. It's way better for these guys to be talking about this than it is to be what we've been talking about for the last 2 years with these guys.
Also,
I can tell you that.
They wouldn't be 5-5.
Yeah.
Either. They'd be worse, and it'd be a lot more complaining about this team if they weren't producing. So.
Absolutely. Now, some bad news for the Predators yesterday as well, and this is unfortunately not a new story with this guy, but Philip Forsberg is now out week to week with an upper body injury. I don't know what week to week exactly means, but you know, Mark Borowiecki's out. It's day to day. Anytime you're going week to week, probably not a good sign if you're Philip Forsberg.
Yeah, probably means multiple weeks. And I mean, look, this is the knock. Whenever somebody gets hurt, it's bad luck. It's tough break for that person. Some people, it happens to more consistently than others, and you can't expect it to go to become less frequent as you get older.
Right.
And this just doesn't help him in the. You know, whatever, and I have no idea what he wants or expects out of his next deal, but this is fodder for the other side, you know, at the negotiating table. It's just like, when's the last time you had a full season?
Yeah. No, it's a great question. And, you know, it's one of those, you kind of feel bad for him because he got hurt running into his own teammate the other night. So it's not like, you know, there's a cheap shot to his head or any of these other things. It was just kind of a freak play on a 4-on-4 on the blue line. It collides with a teammate. You know, I would assume, and, you know, just based on the way he fell and got hit, could be concussion protocol. I don't know what's going on, but week to week's not good with Philip Forsberg. And, you know, obviously with the firepower we've talked about from Johansson to Duchene, you still need Philip Forsberg, who does have 4 goals so far this year. So they're week to week without him now, and we'll see how quickly he is able to come back. Joe, we ended the show yesterday discussing Aaron Rodgers testing positive for COVID-19 and that putting him out against the Chiefs on Sunday. And it was one of those things where, you know, as real time the information's coming out as we're getting off the air yesterday, I was like, wait a minute. Why is he already being ruled out for the game on Sunday? He's vaccinated.
Right.
So all he would have to do is test negative twice and he could play. And yesterday was Wednesday. So I was like, wait, what's going on here? Well, turns out, I guess he's not vaccinated. He was asked earlier in the offseason, I think when he came back to the Packers facility, about whether or not he's vaccinated. And the direct quote was, yes, I've been immunized, was the quote that he had. And then went on to talk about, you know, there's some guys that have been vaccinated that have got it and all this other stuff. Apparently, he's not been vaccinated. Had a homeopathic treatment, whatever in the world that means. I'm not smart enough to really know what all is entailed with
Keith Richards getting his blood changed out or something.
I guess so. I don't know exactly what Aaron Rodgers did before the season started, but apparently he went through the NFL when he did it and asked if that would be kind of the same as being vaccinated. The NFL said, "Nope, we're going to consider you unvaccinated." And he's been apparently walking around in the building with a mask on in meetings and with his teammates, but every time he does a press conference, which is inside the building in Green Bay every time, and every new press conference is outside, he has not been wearing a mask. And technically, that could be against NFL protocol. So it's this big old long story, and now the NFL is looking into whether or not Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have been violating COVID protocol. This is quite the strange story from number 12 in Green Bay.
So he's a weak liar.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to call him McLovin from now on. Do you follow Josiah Johnson?
Yes.
Do you follow Josiah Johnson? Oh my! As a basketball fan, oh my gosh, Michelle, change that right now. I'll find you that. He immediately had the picture of McLovin as Aaron Rodgers showing the NFL his vax card. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Look, I disagree with like Kirk Cousins, for example, and any of these guys who I'm staunchly against the whole anti-vaccination movement. Made that very clear. But like, at least they say what they actually think,
right?
Like, I'm trying to understand, because he answered yes.
Yeah,
he said yes. I'm immunized, which I mean, immunized is a totally fine word for vaccinated, sure. Isn't it?
I mean, I guess. I'm not a doctor, but I would assume so.
So obviously the Packers, I mean, there's no surprise in the organization, right?
Well, no, I don't think there's any surprise in the NFL either, because apparently he went through them.
Right. So basically this is just, I mean, it's a surprise to the public. Again, it's the fans. It's the fans like you who are like, oh, he'll be fine. He can still play. It's like, nope. Actually, but so I don't. So now I can't wait for his next presser. This guy's had the most amazing string of pressers in a year.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't wait for that. And I'd love to know the answer. Like, why? What? Why go through this?
I don't know, because it's also one of those things where, you know, maybe he was intentionally being, I guess, coy when he answers that question, but. Then everybody's running around saying, well, Aaron Rodgers is vaccinated.
Right.
And
he sees that.
He's like, oh, okay, we'll just go with that. Why not?
Right. It's just reported widely. Okay, well, so you can mark him off the list. He's vaccinated.
Well,
he doesn't say anything about it.
I mean, I would assume his teammates knew about this, but it's also one of those things where, like, if you're a teammate in there, you're thinking to yourself, all right, well, now you're out 10 days. So you're going to miss the Kansas City game. Is that the biggest deal in the world at the end of the day? No. Like, if he was vaccinated and test positive, there's probably still a pretty good chance he's missing the Kansas City game at this point.
Right.
But now you're out 10 days minimum, and based on the timeline, that takes you to next Saturday at least. And you play against the Seahawks, who, by the way, look like they might have Russell Wilson coming back that next Sunday. So this has turned into likely a two-week thing for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, well, if you're a teammate of his, I mean, because let's face it, you know, it's 53 guys on an active roster, the guys on the practice squad. I mean, does everyone talk to everyone about their exact situation? Like, there may be teammates in there who, I guess you would have to know.
Probably
that, right?
Not, but like when he's walking around, everybody else is just walking around and Aaron Rodgers is walking around in a mask. Like, I guess you could just assume he's being doubly protective, but you probably know.
Right, right.
And based on some of the comments from LaFleur and Aaron Jones and some players yesterday, they knew.
Yeah. So, if they lose these two games because of this and then don't get the one and then go out of the playoffs early, are you ready for the Jordan Love era?
I don't know if I'm ready. Well, I'll let you know on Monday.
Didn't you just get him on fantasy?
I did. Look, I still think that the Packers are going to be able to move the ball in this game. I mean, the Kansas City's defense is awful. So, like, you know, I don't think Jordan Love is all that good based on what I've seen. And I no longer think the Packers are going to win this game against Kansas City. And the Vegas line reflects that. They were, I believe, a one-point underdog. It's moved down to 7.5, maybe 8 now. So it's a pretty big swing with Aaron Rodgers out of there. This is certainly the first thing I thought about yesterday of, if you miss this game and you miss the Seattle game, this could likely be the difference in the one seed for the Packers. When, you know, they've still got the Rams coming up, and they've got a tough schedule coming up.
Okay, but first of all, I'm actually maybe more stunned than anything. They were underdogs in that game with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is why
I don't get
it was
that at all.
Started at 3.5, and last week on the FanDuel Sportsbook, when I saw the 3.5 point line, Robbie did some work on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and now Rodgers is not playing.
Yeah, that's the danger. I don't get that. When does he talk?
Well, he's supposed to talk yesterday, but he didn't. So he won't talk again until
next week,
probably.
Yeah.
Now, he goes on the Pat McAfee show every Tuesday, so that's probably the next time he'll talk is on the Pat McAfee show next Tuesday, which he talked yesterday, I guess he had not tested positive at that point. Everything looked like he was going to play. So,
don't suck up to him, McAfee.
Well, I got news for you.
Yeah, probably.
there will be some sucking up that goes on there.
It's so, weird, man.
Going to be a very interesting story with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, the question now is, what's the NFL going to find when they look into it? Like, have the Packers been violating protocol? I mean, I think the press conference thing is the main thing people are talking about because he's not had the mask on. SI.com came out with a report last night that, you know, he's basically had his mask on everywhere else. So I don't know exactly what the NFL is going to find here. But, I mean, if they find that they violate a protocol, I mean, fines, forfeiture of draft picks, like, all that's going to be on the table for the Packers.
Wow. Yeah, and I know there's been some on the press conference stuff, like Carson Wentz. I know Stephen Holder tweeted out, like, Carson Wentz has been at pressers without the mask, but those have been outdoors.
Yeah.
So,
and we've reached the point of the year that they never do outdoor press conferences in Green Bay. They're certainly not doing them in November.
Right, yeah.
So, going to be interesting to monitor things on that front. We'll
McLovin.
Continue the discussion on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Get to the Titans coming up next and the injury report, including a pretty important guy back on the field yesterday for the Titans. All that coming up on the other side. And this week marks the halfway point to the NFL season, and there's a big Sunday afternoon matchup between Green Bay and Kansas City that we've just been talking about. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win, and that means you could win $150 on a $5 bet. This game has changed pretty dramatically over the course of the last 24 hours. I'll take the Chiefs on the money line. I will take Aaron Jones on the over on receiving yards. Give me Travis Kelce on the over on receiving yards as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. FanDuel is always hooking you up with great offers like this. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America, and you get your winnings in as little as 2 hours. So just sign up today with promo code ROB this week before Green Bay takes on Kansas City, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wagering designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at practice discussing Julio Jones, who was back on the field yesterday for the Titans, a limited participant in practice yesterday with a hamstring injury. Adrian Peterson on the field yesterday as well for the Titans. So it is official. It's funny to think about. Go back to like 2015 and tell Titans fans that one day Julio Jones and Adrian Peterson going to be running down the practice field side by side over at St. Thomas Sports Park. I don't know if many Titans fans would have believed you, Joe.
How about that? If you could only get Randy Moss out there too,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. Got a nice video of that, by the way.
Yeah, you did.
At Joe Rexford, if you'd like to check that out. By the way, Michelle, did you follow Josiah? Sorry, Michelle's like trying to do
not yet.
Do stuff. Okay.
I will. It's on the to-do list.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, before the show ends, please. Like, he has a new funny tweet every like 5 minutes. But yeah, so it was interesting seeing Adrian Peterson out there in the number eight yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's kind of weird. But he's out there, and, you know, they did a walkthrough yesterday. So even the injury report is sort of, you know, it's sort of like projected.
Yeah.
But Julio Jones doing all the stuff everybody else was doing. So, and Vrabel even said before that, you know, he's going to practice this week. So it appears that it's back on for him. And we'll see if he can get through a 60-minute football game and be a part of the offense for the entire football game, which hasn't happened in a long time.
It has not happened in a long time. Matthew Stafford on the injury report as well yesterday for the Rams with a back injury. Did not practice. My guess is he's probably going to be out there. If I know anything about Matthew Stafford, probably would take like a severed left arm for him to not be out there.
Yeah, he's pretty tough. Yeah, they've got some important guys on there, but all of them expected to play. So. Yep.
Going to be interesting to monitor Julio Jones this week. Obviously, with the hamstring injury, you've talked about this many times. You just never really know. Bud Dupree, a limited participant yesterday as well. That's, I think, expected at this point.
Yep.
Jeffrey Simmons, ankle, did not practice. Rashawn Evans with the ankle, did not practice as well. Again, as you mentioned, a walkthrough day basically for the Titans yesterday, a cold walkthrough day. I noticed from some of the pictures yesterday as well. Looked like the wind was whipping out there a little bit, Rexro.
I mean, I I was miserable. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, I was absolutely freezing. Joe had the hood up. My hands were like frozen. I think I was shivering in my chair when Mike Vrabel was speaking. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm freezing.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I mean, the air temp, you know, was like 48 or something. Yeah. So it's not like it was, but it just felt incredibly cold. I think the biggest problem on the injury report is, you know, you got two guys who went into concussion protocol off the game. Dane Cruikshank,
yep,
who fully participated. Nate Davis did not practice. That probably, I can't recall a situation, and I could be wrong, you know, or it could have happened. I'm not wrong that it usually happens this way. If you are in the concussion protocol from the previous game and then you don't practice the following Wednesday, I can't recall someone who then played in the next game.
Be difficult.
So it's likely, I would say, that Nate Davis does not play, and that's never good for this team. I understand Nate Davis has had an up-and-down season, but you don't want to miss him, and you don't want to miss him against this particular opponent.
There are certain opponents that you really need your interior offensive lineman to play well, and this would be the top of the list when you've got Aaron Donald on the other side. So not having Nate Davis, pretty big deal. And then, you know, you also factor in, like, who really knows with Roger Saffold? Like, he's been gutting things out all year, and you know, he's not even on the injury report when it comes to the latest injury report. But, I mean, he's gone down a lot so far this year. So I don't know that you feel great about your interior offensive lineman heading into this game against Aaron Donald. Now, having said that, if everybody was completely healthy, how great do you really feel matching up against Aaron Donald? That would be the question. Probably not overly great, but you can at least manage it.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, look, he's double teamed like all the time.
Yes.
So that's going to happen. But yeah, you want your best people in there. And Nate Davis is, look, Aaron Brewer could potentially come back and be a factor. Daniel Munyer has been added. There's Levin. We saw Dylan Raduns, and we saw, you know, some tough snaps for him against Indy. And Saffold was actually asked yesterday about what you just said. Is this something that if you shut it down for a while, you'd be fine? And his answer told me, like, he's going to be hurt all year, but it's being managed. He just said, basically, it's just trying to get myself ready to play every week. So it does seem like it's gotten a little better. Like, a few weeks ago, it was like, okay, every third hit,
yeah,
it seems like he's getting up slow. So, but I don't think he's ever going to be 100%. But, of course, anybody who plays in the NFL will tell you, yeah, that's laughable anyway once you get into November and December. So, got to manage it. And, of course, he was a teammate of Aaron Donald's and had a lot to say about him yesterday, his respect for him, and just the stunning ability of that guy to be as agile and fast as he is at his size and strength. It's just, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
Vrabel said that, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he could end up going down as one of the best defensive players to ever play the game when everything is said and done. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dustin texting in. So I just looked up the Rams' schedule. They beat a Colts team without Wentz in game one, barely. They've only played three good teams and barely beat some of the bad teams. I know they're loaded on both sides of the ball, but I think they could be a little bit overrated, to be honest. This is coming from Dustin on the text line. Maybe the Rams a little bit overrated.
Well, it's kind of like when people, you know, will always say whatever the Titans do. Yeah, but they lost to the Jets, and this is true. I mean, just like there's no team that's infallible that is good every week or consistent every week. I mean, there's, you know, you can poke holes in any team in this league if you want to go result by result. Again, the Bills, I think, are going to get the one. You know, they
were not very good on Sunday.
They have not looked great in a few weeks, including week one when their offense couldn't do anything against the Steelers. So I agree. The Rams aren't like some unbeatable, you know, juggernaut. I mean, the Cardinals took it to them in their building.
Yep.
I thought they looked – the game that I watched that I was very impressed by was the game against the Bucs, and they really just took it to the Bucs and went up and down the field on them. But, yeah, I mean, shoot, even the Lions game, yeah, that was a grind for them. So they are, to me, one of the contenders, but it's the NFL. I mean, I don't think that we're necessarily looking at some just runaway blowout here. I think the Titans, if they can affect Stafford, that's the huge key to this game to me, is affecting him, getting him off his spots, and getting sacks, you know, getting some negative plays, then I think they can hang in this game. And obviously, then the other side, you're going to have to get the ball out fast. Ryan Tannehill's got to get out fast. But if he does have Julio Jones, well, now the Rams have two guys that they have to worry about.
Rams still 7.5-point favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook after the news of Derrick Henry. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. How does the Titans go about attacking this Rams defense without number 22 in the backfield? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill yesterday discussing the running game and moving forward without Derrick Henry. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. It is going to be interesting, especially in this matchup, to see how the Titans are able to run the ball. Number one, like, is Adrian Peterson, from a conditioning standpoint, to a point where he can be a significant factor in this game? That's going to be interesting to monitor. And if not, is it going to be the Jeremy McNichols show coming up on Sunday, or is Deontay Foreman going to get some carries? A really interesting game plan from the standpoint of, number one, how often are the Titans going to run the ball? And when they do, who is going to be the lead back coming up on Sunday for the Titans against the Rams? It's an interesting question.
It is. I got into an argument, I know you'd be shocked by this, with Jared about this, who thinks McNichols is just going to be like, I hadn't even really considered that as a possibility, other than maybe this week, that McNichols might become like the primary ball carrier. I don't think that that's going to happen. I think Peterson, the plan, if he plays well, is that he would get the bulk of the carries. Moving forward, long term, this week, who knows? Couple things that I've taken from this week. Rob Moore and Vrabel have both independently said that Titans receivers aren't blocking well enough, which is interesting.
When you lose Corey Davis, I mean.
Well, and by the way, well, speaking of which, so Vrabel's asked about Cooper Kupp's amazing season yesterday. Yeah. Immediately says he and Robert Woods are like they're amazing blockers. Immediately goes to the receiving block, and I thought of you.
Thank you.
So, yes, he's a big proponent of receiver blocking. It's very important.
It is very important.
They're playing football, blocking, tackling, okay? but he also was asked about Josh Reynolds. Of course, this could be a Josh Reynolds get back at your old team game.
That's right.
Pretty quickly, you know, Glennon asked, like, what can he do? What's he not doing? What can he do? And Vrabel's like, man, you know, nothing he's not doing. But then he quickly started talking about blocking. And Josh Reynolds, I mean, just physically, is not like the type of guy who's built to do some heavy-duty safety blocking in this league. But
he is not.
But still, I think, could be a factor in this offense. So, I mean, look, man, you got to – we don't know what's going to happen with the running game. You got to have some kind of running game. I mean, the offensive line plays well. You could have some kind of a running game. But this is a let-her-rip game. Throw wherever Jalen Ramsey ain't,
yeah,
and get some of those other. But you got to throw at him too. I mean, you have to be willing to attack. You can't let him take out chunks of the field either.
Well, this is a big game for AJ Brown. I mean, this is an opportunity for you to prove that you are an elite receiver in the NFL and get open. I mean, you know, Jalen Ramsey is not like some impenetrable wall out there. He's a really good player, and you know there have been times this year, and I think of the Colts game specifically, when throwing at Jalen Ramsey is probably not a good idea. And I think it was it Eason that came in? I think it was.
Yep.
Eason came in and said, you know what? I'm going to go right at that guy.
Yeah.
Probably not a good idea. So I get it. You don't want to just, you know, pepper at Jalen Ramsey over there. But it's not like the guy has never allowed a catch in his career either. So you can't just take away one side of the field and say, you know what? We're not going over there. To me, it's a big game for A.J. Brown. Like, can you get it? Like, I assume that's what the matchup is going to be. Jalen Ramsey on A.J. Brown. Can you find a way to win if you're A.J. Brown? That's a big question I think a huge key to this game if you're A.J. Brown heading into this matchup against the Rams.
Well, it is, and if that is the matchup, well, does that mean Robert Rochelle, a rookie, on Julio Jones? Because that'd be something I'd be liking if I were Ryan Tannehill, you know? So it's just, I mean, the offensive line, and it's just, it's again, it's going to be tough. If Nate Davis is out, as it appears he will be, that's a big loss. But Taylor Lewan, as we talked about yesterday, I thought was very good against the Colts. Looked like Taylor Lewan. That's a great sign going into this game. It's just a lot of it is the offensive line protecting Tannehill, giving you some chance for a run game, and letting Tannehill set up and throw, because I think there's plays to be made against that defense if he can.
Well, you brought up the quick passing game earlier too. Like, I mean, that's something A.J. Brown's going to have to be involved with as well. He's looked a lot more like A.J. Brown the last few weeks, and as we know, running after the catch is a big part of A.J. Brown's game when he's on. And you know, you think back, I think back to the Buffalo game a year ago where they're shorthanded offensively, and basically their game plan in that game was, hey, let's get the ball to A.J. Brown as quickly and as often as possible. And that's basically what they did in that game. I would kind of expect maybe something similar this week against L.A.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Jalen Ramsey's a great player. Jalen Ramsey as a tackler, not bad. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, just getting run over left and right. I mean, Derrick Henry, everybody has troubles with him, right? But
yes.
But that's where to me, A.J. Brown really has the edge, is with the ball in his hands, and now come tackle me. I mean, he's just, again, it's like what he did to Xavier Rhodes last week. Just, you know, obviously got that crossing route, and he beats him to the spot, but then really just kind of flicks him off like a bug and goes down the sideline for a touchdown. That, I agree, that's got to be a lot of this, is get him the ball as often and as quickly as possible. But then also, yeah, you got to like the matchup. If number two is full go, then there's some opportunity for him to make big plays.
Yeah, opportunity to make some big plays. And, you know, I said it, they need him this week. They need him to be on the field and to be available. And it is interesting, like, they did have the tight end drive a week ago. It worked out pretty well for the Titans on that drive. Is this the week where you get the tight ends more involved with Derrick Henry not being in the backfield? I don't know. I don't really know, honestly, what the capability of getting the tight ends more involved looks like for this Titans offense. But that one drive worked pretty nicely for the Titans last week. I will say that. 5 receptions for the tight ends on that drive.
3 for Swaim, just 1 for Firkser. But it's still Firkser to me. Firkser is still the guy. And I'm just going to probably go down with this ship of, one, picking him to get a touchdown every week. But just believing that it's coming. I mean, the knee must be a pretty significant thing. That's because they were preparing for him to be a big part of the offense. He had, you know, moved into position. We've seen Tannehill and Firkser actually make quite a few plays already previously, and it just hasn't been there. Now, actually, I asked Tannehill about this yesterday, and he said, like, you got to remember, and it's always worth remembering and mentioning, there are some plays where they could have made plays where he went somewhere else with the ball. But I still, like, overall, this period of time, that little production and targeting for Firkser, I mean, that has to be somewhat related to the knee, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would think so, but then I guess my question is, like, why is he not on the injury report, and why is he practicing every day?
Yeah, I mean, he's good enough to go. It's just hard to know because he just doesn't get involved that much. But, I mean, in camp, he looked lethal.
We heard.
Yeah, I know.
From teammates, absolutely. And media alike, we heard.
But it's true. I mean, there's a disconnect there that I think has to be him being slowed by that. Yeah, obviously he's healthy enough to play right now. Can he get back to whatever he was in August? I don't know, but I would think that there's a chance that Anthony Firkser becomes a bigger part of the offense.
Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Evanescence and Hailstorm at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, December 3rd? Well, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Evanescence and Hailstorm live. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, November the 8th. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How should the Titans offense attack this Rams defense without Derrick Henry? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Ryan Tannehill discussing his friend and former teammate Von Miller, who has been traded this week from the Denver Broncos to the L.A. Rams. And congratulations, Ryan Tannehill, in your first game without Derrick Henry. You get to go up against Aaron Donald and Von Miller. Have fun with that. On a team that, prior to acquiring Von Miller, has already generated the most pressures on the quarterback in the entire league. So that's fun.
Yay. Yeah, I don't know how much Von Miller's going to play, but probably some. You know, he'll probably be out there situationally on those third and longs, and that won't be fun.
No.
I was trying to think, like, how many times has he seen Von Miller? I imagine a few times. I mean, I'm sure Miami-Denver played a few times.
Was Von Miller playing in that, 10-0 stunner or whatever the score was in Mariota's last game as a starter?
16-0, right? Yeah, was he hurt that year?
He may have been.
Hmm.
I know he was hurt last year. So he did not. Ryan Tannehill did not see Von Miller last year when they went to Denver.
Right. Yeah, for sure last year. I don't know. I mean, it seemed like it was all Von Miller's all over the field that day against the Titans.
Just cloned him.
Speaking of old friends, this was interesting from Byard yesterday. So he actually worked out, and I'd forgotten that the 2016 opener was against the Vikings and Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
He was still on the Vikings then. That was the day that a guy named Adam Thielen, I was like, who is this Adam Thielen? And he's just torching these guys. But Kevin Byard had actually worked out with Adrian Peterson, so he got to know him a little bit going into that year. But his first NFL tackle was a TFL of Adrian Peterson.
Maybe we should have known at the time.
And he reminded him yesterday.
I'm sure he did.
That you're my first tackle, buddy.
And it was a tackle for loss.
Yeah. So they've seen him with that game. And then, of course, a couple of years ago, he came in with the Washington football team and was actually really good in that game that Washington nearly won.
Yeah.
And now, here we go. What's he going to do Sunday night?
In all seriousness, when you look at this week, and not just the big picture for Adrian Peterson here, what are realistic expectations for a guy that's not taken a snap so far this year in the NFL, who has been working out? We feel good about the shape that Adrian Peterson is in, because he's always been in really good shape. What's a realistic expectation for Adrian Peterson in this game?
I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, to me, it's realistic for him to be active and for him to, probably get a few series to try to be the primary back. And I mean, if you could get 40 yards out of him, I don't know. Can you cobble together between Peterson, McNichols, and Foreman? Can you cobble together 80 yards? I mean, honestly, that's about what you're looking at now. I mean, if you rush for 100 yards now in an NFL game, that's a good day on the ground. And a lot of teams don't care to even try. So, I mean, the Titans want to have balance. I mean, to me, if that's about the number. If they can cobble together about 80 rushing yards, keep them honest. Try to, you hope you can pop a couple, at least to have, 8, 10, 12-yard runs, and play off that. Play action passing, a lot of questions about that yesterday for the Titans and their coaches. How much is play action? How much is play action passing dependent on a good running attack? Of course it helps. Like David Long was talking about this. If they're running well, or if it's a really good back, then it's going to work a little bit better. But you can still, and Tannehill was talking about this, you can still have a successful play action game if you're not running the ball well. If you execute it well and you block it well. And I mean, the Titans are going to, they're still going to do that, I think, a lot. Can you block it up?
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got a texture that says AP is going to ball out on Sunday night. calling 33 carries for 250 yards.
Sure. That's a shot. So we're going with
AP. That's a shot.
So we're going with AP.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
on the text line.
What are you going with?
I don't care.
I don't either.
I'll go with AP.
People get so...
Now, people are really mad about this.
Well, people who are primarily college football people get mad about AP. Because it's like NFL, when his NFL career, everybody called him AP. But it's AD goes back to childhood, and that was at Oklahoma. Everybody called him AD.
Look, after I heard about Brady's nickname as the Pharaoh, everybody else's nickname just doesn't matter anymore.
But it's
even Derrick Henry's. So it's like, no.
Yeah,
the Pharaoh.
But what's better now than McLovin? Your guy is now McLovin. So
I gave what's his name the follow.
Did you see the tweet?
Yes.
Yeah, he might have had the best tweet ever about Luka Doncic last year. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So David Ubbin went out there and did a story on him. Went out to L.A. and I think he actually sent this tweet. I'll show you the tweet. It might be the greatest tweet ever. Just trust me. It's hard to explain. I can't really explain the tweet, but it's pretty amazing. Josiah Johnson, everybody.
That's right. Dustin saying, I think about 4 to 5 carries in the first half. Get him acclimated, see what he does, and then a little bit more in the second half. Talking about Adrian Peterson and the workload coming up on Sunday against the Rams.
Yeah. I think he's going to get a little bit of work. I suppose I could see, McNichols just being the starting back and getting a series or two, but I think it won't take long before Adrian Peterson gets in there. And then it'll be interesting with Foreman. How do they look at that? Do they actually look at it like three backs trying to get carries? I still suspect that as things move forward from this game, it'll be mostly those two guys with McNichols in his same role, but we'll see.
I just want to point out, McNichols in his career, 4.4 yards per carry and a touchdown.
That's not bad.
Now, Jared was talking about this yesterday, too. Like, how many teams, when he's been in the game, have ever expected a run, ever?
Right.
with Jeremy McNichols in the game? Probably not many.
McNichols' running plays are change-ups.
Yeah.
They always have been. I don't think that it's going to be a fastball for this team.
But, hey.
But the guy serves a ton of credit.
He does.
He shows up. And he's made some big plays this year, particularly catching the ball. You think in some of those situations where they needed a play, he's made quite a few. I don't see him being a heavy volume runner of the football.
Got a texter that says 10 carries for 45 yards, a fair expectation for Adrian Peterson on Sunday.
That'd be a real good night.
Yep.
I think they'd sign up for that right now.
And then just try to manufacture your way with the other two guys, get to 80, 85 yards, and – turn it over to Tannehill. I mean, they were talking yesterday, Jared and Caroline, about, Tannehill, his job now is to carry this team to the finish line, and that is now the expectation for him. It's on him in order to do that. And we talked about it earlier this week in terms of the opportunity for Ryan Tannehill, I think especially nationally, to kind of prove that he is a different quarterback here, and it's not just 22 in the backfield that makes everything work here for this Titans offense. Obviously this game is a big test, and I feel like most people are just kind of giving up on the Rams game on Sunday. Like, I still think there is a path for the Titans to hang around and win this game. I just think it's probably unlikely on the road given the quality of opponent. I think it was going to be tough for the Titans to win this game with Derrick Henry. So those chances have obviously gone down, but it's not like this is some David versus Goliath matchup out there. Like, the Titans are still a pretty good team.
No, the defense is going to have to step up and play well. And there are signs that, look at the pass rush and how they're coming on. I think Bud Dupree is now kind of in a good groove. Haven't heard anything about Christian Fulton, which is not great because I thought maybe he might be coming back soon. It doesn't look good. I think that's the defense needs him to really realize his potential. But this defense can make plays and make it tough on the Rams and keep them in the game. And can you protect Tannehill? You protect him and let him set up and throw. I think it's going to be possibly a good football game.
I got a texter that says, if Brady and Rodgers play in the playoffs, you have to do an article about the Pharaoh versus McLovin. Is that something you can sign up for right now?
Yes, I will. Yes, I'll send in a request to – can I, at least a tweet. Some tweets for sure.
The all-nickname matchup in the playoffs in the NFC title game, the Pharaoh versus McLovin.
I've still never heard anybody actually call him the Pharaoh. I mean, I think that we need to perpetuate
we need to ask it.
Well, yeah. We need to do it, speak it into existence.
Look, it's on Pro Football Reference. That's all I can tell you. And they've got everybody's nicknames out there. You know, Brady's got like 9 of them, which is fine.
It's on Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's on Wikipedia. The Pharaoh. I think it's great. I mean, that's one of the greatest sports nicknames I think I've ever heard of.
It is.
And it's much better than Tom Terrific or Touchdown Tom.
Oh, yeah. No,
the Pharaoh.
The Pharaoh's great. He's mummified.
That's right.
By the way, is Ryan Porth trying to kill us? Does he want us dead?
I don't know why.
I mean, is the AC AC's up at like 40 right now?
It's like
it's 73 on this side, guys. I'm feeling
great. We need to be mummified.
It's Hoth. Not that Ryan Porth would know what Hoth is from The Empire Strikes Back, but that's what it is in here.
Yeah, send in the AT-ATs.
That's right. We'll continue the discussion on the text line. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to coming up next as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also getting to the Tennessee Vols. And a little recruiting. How's it going for Josh Heupel on the recruiting trail? And when do you need to start to worry if you're a Tennessee fan? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.